This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Working with God by Gardner Hunting, published in 1934. The poorest reason in the world for doing anything is that somebody else is doing it. Children have a name for the imitators. They call them a copycat. But isn't it a curious thing? The copycat habit is almost universal among human beings. Most of us say the same things about newspapers, relatives, and sunsets that our friends do. We rise, sit, sleep, and eat as others do. And whether consciously or unconsciously, one of the aims of our lives is not to be weird, that is, unlike others. Isn't it pitiful how we so often conform to style, to custom, to mode, to trend? And if we think about it, we come upon a curious anomaly. The world is actually crying out for originality, for something new under the sun. Yet it slaps at it instantly when it raises its head. No person is so unpopular as the one who begins to be unlike the rest. However, no person receives such rewards as the one who persists in it. Strange, all people seem to be in a conspiracy to curb originality, yet we also all laud and reward it. And then, when the applause begins, we all begin trying to ape the originator. It has been said that genius is smashing the rules. That may be an inadequate definition. Most definitions are inadequate. But it is a fact that no genius ever observes the rules. The rules, what are they? Summed up, they would read, "Do as I do, and depart not, otherwise you become conspicuous." And here is another marvel. Most of us seek fame, reputation, the limelight, notoriety. Yet we fear to become conspicuous because of a difference in our clothing, appearance, or opinion. Constantly we strive to lead, yet forever we trail. We dream of the world's eyes turning our way, yet we strive to remove every reason why they should. We are as like the successive impressions of the proverbial rubber stamp, which differ only as they grow paler and paler after each inking. What does it all mean? It means not only that we are following a method that is wholly wrong, but it means also that we are flinging away our birthright. The one thing that makes us worthwhile. The one thing that makes us men and women. The one thing that proves us to be children of God. We are flinging away the inner leading and looking outside for everything, from the shapes of our spoons to our moral standards. Least of all do we dare to be different in our religion. But let us not fall into an obvious error. Being different for the sake of being different is the height of folly, though one almost wishes to follow such a course when growing soul-weary of conformity. The fact that most people drive on roads is no reason why I should drive in the fields. That most people live in houses should hardly suggest that I live in a cave. Men and women have tried such methods in their search for originality. You see them doing it every day. People neither hate nor applaud that sort of being different. It is merely ridiculous. These are the very ones who bring discredit upon the whole idea of being different. Their idiosyncrasies and excesses cause us to shy away from all their ways. The conclusion is obvious and inescapable. What other people do should set no standards for me. Therein lies one of the hardest of all lessons to learn. For ye, like sheep, was no chance expression. Enlightenment itself lies in being different. But how am I to take flight and be different without being different for the mere sake of difference? I am between a rock and a hard place. How can I escape? There is but one way. I shall escape by turning from a wholly false standard to a true one. I shall find the true standard just where I find everything else that is true, in my own mind, if I will only look there. Look steadily, and be willing to see. It is said of Emerson that no matter what subject he started to speak or write upon, it always led to the presentation of one great theme. The same is true of all of us. No matter where we start, or which way we work with any given question, if we are honest, it will always lead us to one great theme. Consciousness of the omnipresence of God. Do we need any argument to convince us that the divine is everywhere and in everything? No, all we need is to look and see. God is here in this question of conformity compared to originality. And when I begin to see God in the question is settled. No question can exist when I see it clearly. It becomes its own answer. It is characteristic of many wild animals that they rarely raise their gaze above the level of their own eyes. To be safe from attack, we need only climb a tree and watch the beast that stalks us pass blindly underneath. Isn't it a curious thing that humanity, observing and knowing such a thing, doesn't see the lesson in it? Let us raise our eyes. I raise my gaze above the level of my eyes, and what do I see? Everything that is worthwhile. Am I a creature of a two-dimensional world that I should see nothing that has height? No, nor do three dimensions bound my vision. I see within, and there is where I find every true standard of life, awaiting my discovery. What has what others are doing to do with me? I see people prospering, while to me they appear to be doing nothing right. Others who seem to be saints have neither health nor wealth nor happiness. What about them? How can I judge? I do not know another person's circumstances. I do not know their habits, physical, mental, or spiritual. I see people who work hard and accomplish nothing worthwhile. I see people who seem to loaf around and yet achieve. But how do I know that the hard worker doesn't defeat themselves by their thinking, and that the loafer's real work is done in their thoughts? I cannot judge either of them with any accuracy, of course. So how can I judge the advice they may give me? The most dangerous critic I have among other people is the one who challenges me with, "Physician, heal thyself." When I am not successful in solving all my own problems, when there are still obvious defects in my way of living, when I go directly contrary in practice to what I preach, then this critic finds me vulnerable indeed. But should I mind? Aren't they really helping me? helping me to see how I might be a much better person than I am, how I might have a much finer experience than I am having, how I might rise to greater heights. Their criticism may sound destructive, but if I see it as constructive, I shall simply gain by it, perhaps immeasurably. What makes me wince when I am criticized unfavorably? Well, probably the same thing that makes me glow when I am praised. Vanity. I can't stand criticism because I can't bear to have anybody think I am not a wonderful person. Well, what does that indicate? That I want people to think I am a wonderful person whether I am or not? What kind of attitude of mind is that? It is not even common honesty that wants to be thought better than it is. If I try to make impressions on other people that do not represent the individual who I really am, then I am a counterfeiter, am I not? I have to admit that I am quick to see counterfeits in other people. But I wonder if there is anything in the idea that we see in others only what is in ourselves. Some writers have said that vanity is the chief of all human motives. Some moralists depend almost entirely upon their ability to appeal to the vanity of other people in efforts to influence them. Flattery is the main stock in trade of many a salesperson. When we fall for it, what does it make us out to be? Counterfeiters? How quickly we should be warned of the weakness in ourselves, of the danger we are in, when either blame or praise affects us too much, particularly when we know that we do not deserve the praise or blame. We shall sometimes be applauded, sometimes hissed, whatever we do. People will attempt to judge us. Sometimes they will be nearly right. Sometimes wholly wrong. Should we be much affected by their verdicts? Probably the estimate others make of us is never accurate. Then if we accept it, knowing that it is not accurate, do we not become counterfeiters? Sooner or later, a counterfeit is always discovered for what it is. When the glitter is not really gold. When the metal is plastic, when the fabric is shoddy, when the life vest is stuffed with sawdust, eventually it appears. People know. Be sure your sin will find you out is no joke. On the other hand, be sure your virtue will find you out too. Not only should you not, but actually you cannot hide your light under a bushel. There is a kind of modesty that is false, a dishonest modesty, a modesty that evades facts, that tries to make itself out to be something it is not. Modesty as a mask is contemptible. Modesty as a pretense is ridiculous. After all, why should I be modest? Why should I think about modesty at all? I shall not. Unless I am consciously trying not to show my vanity. So no, we cannot mind what others think about us, or about anything else. However, that does not mean, of course, that we should not be inconsiderate of their beliefs. Far from it. It does not mean that we should be intolerant of their opinions. We haven't time to be either. Our business is to be loving, serving, trusting, going about doing good. What have vanity or modesty or fear of criticism to do with those aims? Not one thing. They belong to a world of false appearances, a world of counterfeits.
We'll be right back. This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.